glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket. Money comes, doesn't stay. Now they say I've got to pay. And the man's got his hands in my pocket. I got the red, white, and blues. Cause I got to pay my dues. They demand I supply, but my deficit is high, and I don't know how I'm ever gonna make it. While I watch my taxes soar, they said, son, you owe us more, and if you don't hand it over, we'll just take it. Got the red, white, and blues, cause I got to pay my dues to the land of the free, so they call it. I said, help me through.
Kiss my IRS.
And you left me here with the red, white, and blues.
You see, friend, Uncle Sam needs your money.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. My apologies for any delay here, folks, and for any fidelity problems. We're coming to you by the magic of Ma Bell AT&T. Apparently there is a problem with our usual direct connection to the studio, but we're blessed that we're here tonight, and thank you for joining me. Folks, the call-in number tonight is 1-800-313-9443, and that's if you have any sort of situation that you might like to discuss with me on the air. You can, of course, use any name you would like for your own anonymity. And I think that you'll find those folks who have called in the past have found that it has helped them springboard to all sorts of thinking and remedies that perhaps they hadn't considered in the past. Friends, it's Sunday evening, September 2nd, and I thank you for joining me on this Labor Day weekend. About a minute before I called, there was a fireworks display right outside my window, and it's good to know that America knows how to solemnly celebrate its most serious holidays, celebrating the labor, although this was a holiday that was begun by the labor movement, the labor union movement back in the 1800s. But nonetheless, it's nice to see America is staying true to its methodologies. Tonight, we're going to focus on BIC enforcement strategies, including distress warrants and the missing link in most people's processes that we've been discussing the last week or two, namely operating as the plaintiff to force public officials to testify under oath as to the disposition of the funds that they have received by way of a BIC instrument. And, folks, we actually spoke at length yesterday on the regular Saturday program of Take No Prisoners at 1 p.m. yesterday, which is available, I presume, is available now for download in the archives, barring any technical difficulty. But before we get into those topics, I sent an email out this morning concerning what I consider to be the most important weapon in our arsenal, which is the one tool that can move the links to their side of the 50-yard line. Quite predictably, I might add. One that even the most skilled law merchants tend to take for granted. I myself take it for granted, but I had my eyes reopened again by one of our listeners who's a very fine researcher. So tonight, we're going to explore the power of this tool, which is the bedrock of all of our administrative procedures, and yet at the same time, this tool is the seat of invaluable stage 2 enforcement leverage. And that tool will be revealed right after the break, which is upcoming.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome to Take No Prisoners. Glad you made it. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and welcome back, my friends. We're back on with our regular, hot-sounding live connection for the Sunday night edition of Take No Prisoners. My apologies for that technical glitch, folks. As I said, we're going to discuss in just a moment or two probably the single most important tool in our entire arsenal. Without this tool, without this this historically critical and profoundly powerful public official, we'd be out of business. And we can employ this public official to our benefit. This public official is empowered to serve us, and we'll talk about that in just a second. A couple of quick announcements, folks. Please don't forward through them. I think you may find them of interest. First of all, let me emphasize, please do not send any email responses to our mass emails because those are usually temporary accounts and they're one-shot deals. Occasionally we get an email from someone who's really upset that we haven't returned their message to them, and we haven't responded because we don't check those accounts. Very often they're closed out after we do a single one or two mass mailings. And that specifically would be the ones at reborn.com. Also, folks, if you're sending us handwritten letters or typed letters instead of email. If you're sending a snail mail for more information, there's a long, long turnaround. It's just we're all working to our maximum capacity, not just me, but the kind folks who work with me, and they're volunteers, by the way. Imagine that, volunteers for all the work they do. And we're pretty much at capacity. So if we have to sit down and hand do a letter, even on the computer, and print it out, and stuff an envelope, and stamp it, and take it to the post office, it gets the lowest priority because in that time we can address 15 or 20 emails. So I strongly suggest emails, emails, emails. If you need an experienced notary, and I get asked that 10 times a day, just send an email to notarydepot@hush.com. That's D-E-P-O-T. They have experienced notaries. They have BIC notaries. They have no affiliation with me other than I have respect for the people who are operating it. And it was my idea that we should at least have some central site where people could go to find a notary, or if they are an experienced notary, to leave their credentials. Also, the two-day free seminar being held on September 15th and 16th which is entitled Collecting in Bankruptcy, but it's also going to include some interesting foreclosure technology, is pretty much at capacity. And I think we'll be closing it out on Wednesday. So if you'd like to attend that, please send an email immediately to samsfreeseminar@hush.com. Samsfreeseminar@hush.com. If you can't spell that, by the way, then you don't get to go to the conference. Actually, figure out how to spell it. Send an email over to that site and tell Laura or Roberta you didn't know how to spell it, and they'll charge you to go to the conference. The five-day Law Merchant Leadership Retreat is filling up fast. These things come in droves, and this week has been especially busy. So I suggest if it's something you're interested in, now that we're in September, that's being held in Albany, New York, October 11th to the 15th, then please drop a line by email to Roberta T, as in Thomas, at hush.com. We are going to have some surprises there. It's shocking to me how much new technology evolves and gets developed from day to day. And we're introducing what we call Stage 1 Option 5 at that conference. It's going to be a shortcut, a direct way to achieve set-off, hopefully within 72 hours. Now, I don't want to guarantee that because we are still testing it out. We've got a dozen or two folks out there who are doing quite a few of these, and I hope to have my statistics compiled maybe even by the mid-September meeting. There's also some other stuff we're cooking up as well. All I can say is we're going to be unleashing some new technology and some shortcut technology and further refinements in BIC and try and build upon what we have started here. Let's see here. For those who are attending Collecting in Bankruptcy, I urge you to give Rocklin a serious look. Concentrate on Folder 4, and that would be what did we call that folder? I think it was if you're electing to be a creditor in commerce folder 4. And within that, there were two very large comprehensive administrative remedies, which were the evolutionary precursors to Stage 1 Option 3 BIC. So I urge you to go over those. Go over the Recourse 15 folder, if you will, and review all of its contents. That has much of the bankruptcy material, although I will say that the bankruptcy material has expanded exponentially, so that folks who will attend will have everything that they could possibly want, including all of the bankruptcy forms, but not laid out the way you'd find them on the federal court site, laid out so you know what they mean by the file and grouped according to the order in which you would use them, so that the forms for appealing a judge's decision would be in an appeals folder, and the forms for involuntary bankruptcy would not be mixed in with the forms for voluntary bankruptcy, and Chapter 7 and 11 and 13 are segregated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not that we care all that much about that process, but since you're coming in as a debtor in bankruptcy, you have to be process pure, because it's a process that they will attempt to undermine you with. We would, if someone writes to us and says, oh, could you send me the Recourse 15 folder, we'd be happy to, except it's got, at this point, maybe 100 or more files in it, so it's just an unwieldy thing. If you have a friend who's got the Rockland CD, by all means get it off of that. If not, it can be ordered through Brian at takenoprisoners@hush.com. And let's see what else. Oh, yes, I mentioned earlier, but it bears repeating, we're on Saturdays, folks. And Saturdays is a lazy afternoon program at 1 p.m. where the phone lines are available because no one wants to listen on Saturday. So if you have questions and you'd like to get in a discussion with me that might be prolonged about what you're doing concerning law merchant procedures, you might want to listen in on Saturday and take advantage of that airtime. Now, as I mentioned, there are some technologies, some enforcement strategies that we're using increasingly and which we sometimes take for granted. The first one is this issue of distress warrants, which I've spoken about at least two or three times in the last month. But I had I received an email from a very fine researcher whose first name is Linda, and thank you, Linda, for all the work you do out there, who sent me the following case that I was not aware of. This is from 1856, Murray's, M-U-R-R-A-Y apostrophe S, Lessee, L-E-S-S-E-E, versus Hoboken Land and Improvement Company, comma, 59 U.S. 272. 1856 is the year, a very good year, and it says, quote, one such factor is whether agency action is subject to later judicial scrutiny. In one of the initial decisions construing the due process clause of the Fifth Amendment, remember, 1856, this is when there was a Fifth Amendment, the court upheld the authority of the Secretary of the Treasury acting pursuant to statute to obtain money from a collector of customs alleged to be in arrears. In other words, a distress warrant. The Treasury simply issued a distress warrant and seized the collector's property. Now, who is that a collector of? The collector of customs, a public official. The Treasury simply issued a distress warrant and seized the collector's property, affording him no opportunity for a hearing and requiring him to sue for recovery of his property, while acknowledging that history and settled practice required proceedings in which pleas, answers, and trials were requisite before property could be taken. The court observed that the distress collection of debts due the Crown had been the exception to the rule in England and was of long usage in the United States and was thus sustainable in the United States. And, of course, reason and logic tell you it's sustainable because the funds don't belong to the collector of customs. In our modern society, post-1933, those funds belong to whom? The International Monetary Fund, of which the Secretary of the Trustee, unless you're from the South, Secretary of the Trustee, is the receiver. He's the U.S. Trustee. He's the head of all the U.S. trustees. He's the head honcho. And so he is entitled to hold those funds. Imagine if a branch of the post office decided to withhold funds from whoever the central office is for the postal service that deigns to be a post office. Anyway, if we look at 31 U.S.C. 3541 again, that's Title 31, Section 3541, entitled Distress Warrants, Paragraph A says, when an official receiving public money before it is paid to the Treasury or a disbursing or certifying official of the United States government does not submit an account or pay the money as prescribed by law, such as under 28 U.S.C. 2041, the Comptroller General shall make the account for the official and certify to the Secretary of the Treasury the amount due the government. We'll pick up with this in paragraph B after the break. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent, and my debts are rising.
Welcome back, friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were discussing distress warrants, which are permitted or provided statutorily under 31 U.S.C. 3541. And paragraph A, winds up saying that in the event funds on deposit with a public official are not transferred to the Secretary of the Treasury, quote, the Comptroller General, that's of the United States, shall make the account for the official and certify to the Secretary of the Treasury the amount due the government. Notice the use of language, shall make the account for the official. That tells you something's going to happen. And certify to the Secretary of the Treasury the amount due the government. So they set up an account that is in arrears, and they're going to bill that official. Paragraph B says, the Secretary shall issue The secretary has no discretion. The secretary shall issue a distress warrant against the official. That's very specific language. Stating the amount due from the official and any amount paid. The warrant shall be directed to the marshal of the district in which the official resides. If the secretary intends to take and sell the property of an official that is located in a district other than where the official resides, the warrant shall be directed to the marshal of the district in which the official resides, and the marshal of the district in which the property is located. Ergo, if under 28 U.S.C. 2041, which says that all monies paid into any court of the United States or received by the officers thereof in any case pending or adjudicated in such court shall be forthwith deposited with the treasurer of the United States or a designated depository in the name and to the credit of such court, then if those monies are not transferred to the treasurer of the United States, then we go to the secretary of the treasury or the controller general, if you prefer, and demand that an account be made, a billing be executed by way of distress warrants being issued to the marshals in that district. And if they fail to do it, it would be a criminal violation of law. It would be official misconduct. Now, we have a process for doing that. I think it could be done more forcefully. I am not recommending anyone necessarily do that, but I think there are folks out there who will find this process to be intriguing and something that they can sink their teeth into. So, just give a thought to distress warrants. And remember, my friends, that that's not even the official that I was referring to as being the most powerful tool in our arsenal. We're going to get to that official in just a moment. Before we do, though, I'm going to digress here just 1 minute, pop open the Law Merchants Leadership Retreat folder, find our distress warrants demand letter, which is done by notary process, by the way, so you have evidence that the Secretary of the Treasury did not issue the warrant, if it's not issued. I suspect it will be if it's done right. And basically, this letter says that on or about a particular date, the undersigned tendered bonded promissory note, whatever, with a request to post the payment and transfer of the funds to the Secretary of the Treasury, who is co-payee on the note. And then we say, here is a confession of the theft of those funds in registered public record number, whatever it is, which is the notary certificate that is filed in the county. That's very powerful. We're not just saying, we're not just demanding that those distress warrants be issued to secure those fugitive funds. We're telling them, here is their confession issued by an agent of the Secretary of State, one of the most powerful people in our arsenal. And then paragraph 3 says, demand for arrest of the funds, distress warrants. In the absence of a request from the Controller General, demand is hereby respectfully made on behalf of the Controller General for the immediate issuance of distress warrants to be directed to the marshals in the districts where the property and principal are situate for the purpose of seizing the funds on behalf of the Department of Treasury, blah, blah, blah. I think we're going to add to that, on behalf of the General for the immediate making of an account and issuance of distress warrants against that account, against that liability to be directed to the marshals of the district. So we're just modifying our technology as we go, friends. Every time we do something, of course, new ideas tend to evolve. So that said, let's move on to the topic that I emailed you about. You probably have guessed by now that when it comes to the most powerful tool in our arsenal, we have someone, some public official that will do our bidding and do it well, and a public official of enormous power that most of us are not even aware of. And right after the next break, we're going to spend about 20 minutes exploring the capabilities of that tool in the DIC arsenal. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for joining me. We're talking about two of the weapons, two of the prodigious weapons in the BIC enforcement arsenal, one of which was distress warrants, and the other is something that we have covered at previous law merchant leadership conferences, but I can guarantee we are going to lean on it and exploit it as to the benefits it provides and the capabilities it provides to patriots everywhere who choose law merchant technology. And we're going to lean on that heavily at the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat being held in mid-October in Albany. I cannot emphasize the importance enough, the importance of knowing what this particular public official can accomplish. Now, let me say this about it. There are several groups that are circulating what could be damaging information about this particular public official, and it could be damaging information to the efforts of patriots everywhere, especially those who are functioning as law merchants. This information could even be damaging to the folks who are circulating the misinformation. And I don't want to say it's on purpose or imply any bad intentions, but it's just incorrect information, and normally I wouldn't even address it because these things happen all the time. And I really do not like to give the weight of my particular presence to a controversy or argument unnecessarily. However, when it comes to the health and well-being of patriots, when I see persistent misinformation circulating and recirculating, as it is now, it's moved on to another email group, I think we need to explore it a little closer and really get to the bottom of what the truth is for that particular situation. So let me just read you a couple of paragraphs from the original email. Quote, there are several people around the nation giving seminars, conference calls, or radio shows who incorrectly preach that all notaries are officers of the court, or all notaries can issue summonses and subpoenas, or all notaries can issue judgments. They are misleading the public and doing a disservice to their listeners, because not every notary is authorized to be or do any of the above. It appears that some patriots are trying to create that silver bullet, but instead are getting people into trouble with their flawed notary process, and some of my process was termed flawed in that email as well. In fact, that was the distress warrants package. So that's the general flavor of that email, and I've addressed that in the past, but some information was brought to me earlier today, in fact, and I thought I would bring that out because it refreshed my memory on something that I'm aware of but have taken for granted. Why? Because I have read most of the notary laws in the country, and I simply accept the notary as an officer of enormous and immense power, but I have been negligent in transmitting that information as forcefully as I think it deserves. So I'd like to take this opportunity, all of you patriots out there whose eyes might be rolling back or saying, oh, we've heard about notaries a million times, might I suggest you sit back, have another sip of the beer, and give some consideration to just what a notary can accomplish across state lines, in federal cases, in state and county cases on your behalf. Here's an email that came in. Hello, Sam. And she mentions the email party who is sending around that last email, is terribly misinformed or perhaps undereducated in the powers and duties of his office in California. Now, that's interesting because in that email, there are representations that it's a California notary or notaries who drew up the email. And they are saying they do not have the power to do this or that or the other thing. They can't certify copies. They can't do this. They can't do that. Or as is implied in the beginning of the letter that I just wrote you, that they can't issue summonses and subpoenas, even though they couched it in language that said, well, someone's trying to teach us that all notaries can do that. And of course, all notaries can't do anything. Just like all anybody can't do anything. What did W.C. Fields say? So, continuing with her letter, she states, notary publics have been in existence since 1850 by act of Congress. And based on the Constitution of the United States, the books and records of one state must be given full faith and credit in every other state. I draw your attention to, and she laid out some California statutes for me that I have read in the past, but I think I was a bit lazy at procuring for the program a week or two ago where I spoke on this particular topic. So thank you very much, Linda, for taking the time that I did not appropriately allocate to this task. This is Section 8205 of the government code, Section 8205 says in paragraph A, it is the duty of a notary public when requested, this would be California government code, It is the duty of a notary public when requested, one, to demand acceptance and payment of foreign and inland bills of exchange or promissory notes, to protest them for non-acceptance and non-payment, and to exercise any other power and duties that by the law of nations and according to commercial usages or by the laws of any other state, government, or country may be performed by notaries. Now let's analyze that phrase by phrase, and you'll see what a miracle working with a notary is in your hands if you only allow it to be. One, notaries have the power. Two, demand acceptance and payment of foreign and inland bills of exchange. Stop right there. Linda pointed out that notaries, were brought into existence, not notaries, notary publics were brought into existence in 1850 in the United States, but they predate the United States by many, many years in English law. Notaries traditionally have been officers of the court. They may not be that officially in the United States, but their heritage is as an officer of the court. And for a court to state that a notary certificate is hearsay, it places that judge in complete violation of all English and American law, jurisprudence, and tradition up to the moment he opened his fat mouth. Now, I don't suggest we challenge them on that, but as always, by the careful and skillful art of questioning, we can throw it right back in his lap. Excuse me, Judge, am I to understand that you are dishonoring sworn testimony from a notary public, the traditional court officer responsible for collecting testimony on behalf of the king, even predating the United States? Is that your position, that you're going in violation of hundreds of years of English and American jurisprudence? What's he going to say to that? You see how you've used his own statutes to box him into a corner. Yep, that's where I'm ruling. Okay, we'll go from there. Now that we have your official misconduct, Judge, and you can imagine where we might go from there. So, this ability to demand payment of foreign and inland bills of exchange or promissory notes, if you wanted to argue, which I never recommend when opposition attorney turns around and says, this phony bill of exchange, excuse me, is Mr. Jones saying that bills of exchange are phony documents? Or is he saying that this document is phony? And now you can start to carve him up, because you'll know a lot more about this subject than he will, because they used it. They are accustomed to just mouthing off until a clever patriot gets in their face with clever questions. The power to demand payment of foreign and inland bills of exchange, my friend, to demand acceptance and payment under California law and under New York law and most states, is paramount, because your bill, your true bill, your bill of exchange, your promissory note, which has beneficiaries on it, is a foreign bill of exchange. Now, technically, promissory notes don't qualify as a bill of exchange of two-party instruments, but when you add a beneficiary to them, what have you done? You have turned them into a bearer bond. You've turned them into a bill of exchange. I am ordering you to pay him or her from that fund, and you've done it in a way that does not risk any charges or jail time or anything else, because it's a promissory note. And if they're going to put you in jail for issuing a promissory note, then every mortgage owner out there is going to have to be placed into the clink, and there'll be no one left to pay the taxes to pay for the clink. So the power and authority to demand payment of foreign instruments, foreign negotiable instruments, is key to what we do. And it even says promissory notes in the law. Then it says to exercise any other powers and duties that, by the law of nations and according to commercial usages, that alone gives her the power to do anything that any notary anywhere can do. Now, I suggest all of you clever patriots out there, and there are many, many clever listeners to this program, start researching the notary laws in Afghanistan and in Bangladesh and in Belize and see what you can come up with, because you may find some extraordinary powers. And if this state did allow for depositions and summonses and subpoenas, others do, and that's why you don't find judges challenging notaries. You may find a shark lawyer now and then sending an angry letter until we put him in his place by asking him if he was unaware or intentionally overlooked the authorities that were listed in the first paragraph of the notary's letter of due presentment. And if it was intentional, or if it was an unfortunate oversight, then clearly it's a confession of official misconduct as an attorney, or and some other DR violations such as lying, extortion, and other things that are not permitted under the Code of Professional Conduct in all of the states, I venture to say, or it's a confession of incompetence. And either way, why don't we go visit the bar, just like you suggested? You're going to report the notary to the bar? No, we're going to report you to the bar. We're going to use your own letter to do it. Unless you want to send us a little letter in 3 days saying, yep, I understand, thanks for letting me know. That's why we've never seen a notary have to defend herself, because it's very simple to rebut these things. So, again, it says, or by the laws of any other state, government, or country may be performed by notaries. Do you see the opportunity? Here's your homework assignment, ladies and gentlemen. Over the next week or two, I expect to be deluged at takenoprisoners@hush.com and restore.america@hotmail.com with insightful notary authorities from other nations. Wouldn't that be fun? And if you send them to me, I will compile them, put a dossier together, and I will send them out by mass email and read them on this program. And wait till you see us directly expand the power of a notary in this country simply by the use of the powers of notaries in other states. Now, you understand why this exists in the laws of states. For the same reason you have diplomatic immunity, because you want your notary to be empowered just like their notary is to be empowered. You want to have a balance of the powers. So this is a treaty obligation that's being reflected in the law. And that's the treaty. As you know, treaties are higher than the Constitution. That's why the Constitution pays homage to them. Paragraph number 2, under 8205 of California Government Code, to take the acknowledgement or proof of powers of attorney, mortgages, deeds, grants, transfers, blah, 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 and to give a certificate of that proof or acknowledgement endorsed on or attached to the instrument. So tell me, my friends, how notaries in California are not allowed to certify copies. The certificate shall be signed by the notary public in the notary public's own handwriting. Now, who can certify a copy? Who can certify a copy of your bonded promissory note? You can. But for the public to believe that, you would need a notary public to certify a copy, or a certified copy from a county clerk or a court clerk, of course. Number 3, to take depositions and affidavits and administer oaths and affirmations. To take depositions in all matters incident to the duties of the office. That's anything you bring to her. Or to be used before any court, judge, officer, or board. Any deposition, affidavit, oath, or affirmation shall be signed by the notary public in the notary public's own handwriting. Now, we've spoken about notary deposition numerous times, and I've used it numerous times, every time successfully. When you take a notary deposition, if you're a notary out there, or you request of a notary the taking of a deposition. Do you understand what you've done? You have taken testimony and put it into the highest form of the land, a sworn deposition that is admissible in every forum in the United States. Now, when you read your administrative remedy into that deposition and you say, all liabilities were satisfied, I have no further liability as surety for the defendant, the following parties have confessed by way of notary certificate to the status of successor surety for the defendant. I see no defect in certification by notary public such and such that A, B, and C parties have confessed to being successor surety, have confessed to holding all liability, blah, blah, blah. Now you take all of that and you introduce it into the case by way of a notary deposition, and the notary swears that the other party didn't even show and has lost their right to object and waived all of their rights. What do you think you're holding in your hand? My friend, you're holding administrative and judicial gold. We'll talk about this more after the break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073. Or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Insert dollars only, please. into a nice big envelope and send them off to Sam Kennedy, care of the North Pole. Thank you very much. And my friends, thank you for joining me. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, do you see the power of a notary just in using the tool of deposition? The notary is now going to submit, the notary is going to sign the deposition. The notary is going to certify the other party didn't show. The notary is going to certify that they have been warned that they have waived their right to plead contrary to the deposition. The notary is going to make official request under notary seal to file it in the evidence file. My friends, this is gold. This is dynamite. And if you haven't used the notary in that manner and you're having trouble in a case and you don't want to go in with the plaintiff procedures that we've been discussing, and you can see how simple those plaintiff procedures were during the second hour of yesterday's discussion, they're not very complicated, then notary deposition is something to be considered. Now, what happens when you name the clerk in a case as a third-party defendant? Or the judge in the case? Or the clerk and the judge? Or the prosecutor? Or all of those parties who were named fiduciaries on a bond of promissory note, and they don't adjust the record? Why could your notary not call them in for a deposition? They are named third-party defendants. And the first question that I would, if it was me, that I would ask a judge is, why are you sitting on the bench in a case where you've been named as a third-party defendant? And the second question I would ask him is, what happened to the funds that you have confessed to having stolen, along with the Secretary of the Treasury? Third, did you bring the certified copy of the account? They can issue a subpoena. They can issue a subpoena, Ducas Tecum. Where is the certified copy of the records of the court? And on and on. Now, is this for the faint of heart? No. Will a judge try to strike back? Well, everybody out there listening probably thinks, you bet. They'll do this, that, and the other thing. But my friends, they are aware that the notary is a fellow public official. And if the notary operates properly, with proper paperwork, and is within his or her authority, it may be considered outlandish to them, but this is one of those situations where I suspect they wake up very quickly, because it will be the notary going head-to-head with them, and the notary has substantial power. And more notaries can be brought in. A board of notaries can be assembled. It's just occurring off the top of my head. We, the notaries, three notaries are present, will be bringing you in for deposition, and if you fail to show, we will be certifying that through the chief judge of that part of that court. Or, do you know in some jurisdictions it says that notaries have the same powers of enforcing subpoenas as judges? That means the notary can issue an arrest warrant. Were you aware of that, my friend? Now, I forget what jurisdiction that's in, but I would suggest you check Ohio, Arizona, probably California, Texas, New York, and New Jersey. My memory is telling me it would be in one of those, possibly Massachusetts. And if you find it, and you're in a state that has reciprocity like this, then what are the options? You don't even have to perform the procedure. You can just let the judge know this is the next step. If you persist in this manner, I will assemble a board of notaries to call you in for deposition, and if you fail to show, I will ask the notary to issue a subpoena for your arrest pursuant to the state of Ohio's law, if that's where it is, and pursuant to subparagraph